According to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, the sons of Issachar understood the times and knew what Israel should do. My question, what time is it and what should God's people be doing today?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're going to open up a can of worms today. We're going to talk about a controversial issue. We're going to hit some things head on that are often avoided today. And by God's grace, we will approach these things in the spirit of Jesus with a biblical attitude and ask some questions and present some issues that must be asked and must be presented. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I'll be putting a question out for you and giving away some free books today. That's right. It's my birthday. 56 years old today, and I'm 56 by the grace of God, not just because we're all where we are by the grace of God, but because if God didn't save me as a 16-year-old, I probably wouldn't have lived to be 18, let alone 20, 30, 40, 50, or 56. Celebrated our 35th wedding anniversary on Monday. Yes, so for those who can do the math, got married 2 days before my 21st birthday, turned 56 today. Had some wonderful surprises from our students at our School of Ministry and some gifts given to me. So I want to give some gifts to you. I'm going to be giving away several copies of an almost $30 hardcover volume. So you want to write this number down. Don't call yet. You don't know why you're calling. You don't know how to do it yet, so hang on. But here's the number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I've already posted a question on our Facebook page. This is our Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page, ASKDR Brown on Facebook. So once we get into the program, I am going to take the first caller from each new station where we are, be it DC, be it New York, be it Houston, be it Boston. We're going to be taking calls from different parts of the country, and the first caller from each city will win a copy of my brand new book, but you can't call yet, all right? So hang on. I want to talk to you really candidly today. I'm going to open my heart wide. Some of you, this is the first time you've tuned in. Some of you have known me for many years. But I want to talk candidly to each of you. Martin Luther, greatly used by God, at the end of his life, had some ugly anti-Semitic writings. I always like to qualify things when I quote him. But he was mightily used by God as well and had some amazing things to say. And he said this, "If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every part of the truth except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, then I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing it. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady on all battlefields besides is merely flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point." Oh, the point of battle, the point of severe attack, the key thing in a culture that is under assault, if we flee from that, we might be doing all these great exploits in all these other areas, but we are not standing for Jesus where it really counts. I want to ask the question today, is there a key issue facing our society that we cannot avoid? Is there a key cultural issue, something that if we do not address, we're going to have to apologize to our kids and to our grandkids? Is there something under attack that really affects every area of society and even the church that we must address today? I say there is. I'm going to tell you about the personal journey God took me on and then why this matters to each of you. There are a lot of other things going on that we need to address. On Friday's show, I plan to talk a bit more about the tragedy in Japan. We have a resource I'll tell you about later in the show you can watch for free and get 2 hours of debate discussion about the problem of suffering. There are theological issues, a new Rob Bell book. We'll take those things up in coming days. Some Jewish issues, we'll get to things in Israel that are relevant. But today, we're going to focus on something very particular that we cannot avoid. Stay with me today, right here on The Line of Fire.
fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we are going to be giving some books away shortly. My brand new book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and what a long, strange trip it's been. Almost 700 pages, over 1,500 endnotes backing up every word. You say, I'm not much of a reader. You pull out any one chapter, whether it's dealing with what's happening in the educational system from preschool up through our university campuses. You pull out the chapter on what's happening in the business world. You pull out the chapter on queer theology, a gay lesbian Bible. You pull out the chapter on the stifling of scientific debate, or is it possible for people to come out of homosexuality? Any one of these chapters will be riveting, eye-opening for you. And I will be giving books away to our first callers from WMCA, WAVA, FM, KKHT, WEZE, and WHIM. That's New York, Washington, D.C., Houston, Boston, and Miami. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I will come to my questions for you in a moment. But you say, you're not going to be talking about homosexuality. I mean, that's not the big issue. We got Islam rising in America and around the world. We've got the church apostatizing into so many corrupt doctrines. We've got so many social moral issues. I mean, you've got abortion. You've got sex trafficking. You've got gangs. You've got education system falling apart. You've got our economy falling apart. You've got tragedies taking place in the world, like in Japan. You've got the ongoing issues about the poor that are always here with us. You're not going to talk about homosexuality. You're not going to one of these Bible-bashing, right-wing fanatics, bigoted, intolerant. Oh, hang on. I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus. Most of you know that. I spent and continue to spend much of my time reaching out to my Jewish people. Well, that makes sense because I'm Jewish. I've got a passion for awakening in the church. Well, I'm the product of awakening in different ways. It makes sense that I've got a passion for that. I've preached overseas more than 100 different times. Had the privilege of ministering many different nations. We have grads serving as missionaries in nations all around the world. So world missions, the Great Commission, that beats deeply in my heart all the time. Devotion to Jesus, knowing him, worshiping him, holy living. Absolutely. Absolutely. Those things beat deep in my heart all the time. This issue of gay and lesbian activism was not an issue to me for years and years and years. I've written 20 books. You can look at the first 19 and maybe pull out everything you can that has any reference to homosexuality, and maybe you'll find a total of a paragraph if you put all the quotes together. So, why in the world have I devoted 6 years of my life to researching this subject and to writing this book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, that no major publisher was willing to go near? We had to launch our own publishing house called Equal Time Books. Even though I'm a successful author by God's grace, working with respected publishers, people wouldn't touch this. In fact, little while from now, I'll tell you someone what the publishers told us. Why this issue? I have been burdened deeply by the Lord about this. And by the way, my question to you is not, what's the biggest issue? I'm telling you what I believe is a critically important issue. My question that I posted on Facebook was simply this. This is on Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Why is most of the church so silent over the issue of homosexuality today? So those that have already called in already, that are on hold, my question is, why is most of the church so silent over the issue of homosexuality today? I'll give you some choices. Is it because it's a distraction from preaching the gospel and reaching out to gays and lesbians? In other words, hey, we can't get involved with social issues. You know, it's a distraction. Or the church is renouncing its bigotry towards gays and lesbians. Hey, we were on the wrong side. Some Christians on the wrong side of the slavery issue. Some Christians on the wrong side of segregation issues. Some Christians on the wrong side of oppression of women. We've been on the wrong side of this. We're now more enlightened in our interpretation of Scripture. Is that it? Or choice three, pastors and leaders don't know what to say. I mean, what do you say? What do you do with the lady sitting next to you to find out that she was a man who had sex change surgery, who seems to love the Lord, and how do you handle that? Or four, is it that pastors and leaders are afraid to offend people? and have retreated from confronting sin? Or is it something else? Is it something else? That's my question. We're doing a speaking tour called The Campaign for Religious Tolerance and Intellectual Diversity, because it seems this is the one issue you can't talk about, and we're trying to expose that. I've had people say, we can't work with you. We'll work with gay and lesbian activists, but we won't work with you because we are inclusive. Or we are pro-diversity, and because we are pro-diversity, we will be bigoted and intolerant towards you. The moment I raise these issues graciously, compassionately, with care, with concern, with love, recognizing that Jesus died for heterosexual and homosexual alike, shed the same blood, recognizing that we're all created in God's image and yet fallen and in need of redemption. When I raise these issues, immediately I get branded Nazi, KKK. Here I am, a Jew. I get called a Nazi. I've been called a jihadist. People have written poems against me, attacking me as a jihadist. This doesn't bother me. It's like, I'm getting persecuted. No, having people call you names, that's getting persecuted. And having your arms chopped off or thrown into jail for the gospel, that's more being persecuted. I just feel bad for the people that attack me and think they probably don't understand, and I just pray for them and hope I have the opportunity to sit with them face to face. And I've sat face to face with gay activists with tears pouring down my cheeks saying, I just want you to know the love of the Father. You will not find the word of bigotry or anger in this book, because there's not a word of bigotry or anger in my heart. But the moment you raise these issues, we're doing this speaking tour, Campaign for Religious Tolerance, Intellectual Diversity. We're starting in D.C. Actually, we'll be getting some word out about that shortly in D.C. next week, and then New York the week after that. So late March, early April, these different cities. And folks are finding it very, very difficult to get anyone to sponsor us on a campus, because you can't talk about this on a campus. Or you can have queer study programs on the campus. You can have queer theology taught in the seminary. You can have four-year-olds getting taught terms like genderqueer, or elementary school children having textbooks read to them about same-sex parents, etc. You can be in New York City, where a few years ago the MTA, the Metropolitan Transit Authority, passed a law that if a man identifies as a woman, dresses as a woman, he can use the woman's bathroom. You can have crazy things like that. You can have a school in Pennsylvania where the parents are outraged because they're not notified or get one day's notice that the whole school is going to be told that Johnny's now going to be coming to school dressed as Jane for first or second graders. You can have all that going on, and you can have boycotts of companies like Chick-fil-A, good Christian companies like Chick-fil-A, simply because they've donated to pro-family groups that don't believe in, quote, same-sex marriage. The bigotry is coming against us, and yet there's such an urgent need in our society. There's such an urgent need to address these issues. One of our gals in our school of ministry teaches four-year-olds at a preschool. She taught four-year-olds at a preschool in Charlotte, North Carolina. She was not allowed to address them as boys and girls because that would be making a gender distinction. She had to call them friends. The Park Day School in Oakland, California, they line up kids by sneaker color rather than by gender because they don't want to box them into being boys and girls. I was talking about this in a rural part of North Carolina last year. A pastor came up to me afterwards and said, my daughter, listen to this, my daughter is friends with another girl in high school. This girl loves playing softball. However, she quit the softball team, rural North Carolina, because she was the only non-lesbian on the softball team. The man who started what's called GLSEN, Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, Kevin Jennings, aggressive, gay-slanted propaganda in the schools and no opportunity to voice the other opinion, that man has been appointed by our president as the safe school czar. This book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, tells the story. It's a story you need to hear. This is an issue that is coming your way. To a school near you, to a church near you, to a court near you, to a place of business near you, marching proudly in the streets, those who came out of the closet fighting for what they felt was equality and tolerance now want to put you and me in the closet. It's happening around America. It's happening around the world. We either wake up now or we apologize to our kids, grandkids. Bob in Hyattsville will get back to you on the other side of the break. We've got a special announcement. Pay careful attention.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. It is my birthday today, and I'm giving away some free books. More blessed to give than to receive, Michael Brown. Thank you for joining us. On the Line of Fire, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. Our website, askdrbrown.org. That's askdrbrown.org. My question, Bob in Hyattsville had his answer. I'll share that with you. He was our first caller. Here's my question. Why is most of the church so silent over the issue of homosexuality today? I'm just looking at some answers that were posted on Facebook. One woman said, you know, this is an increasingly important issue to me personally. Topic is so timely. I've just found out in the last couple of weeks that both a nephew and a niece from different sides of the family have turned to an openly homosexual lifestyle. I'm addressing it as lovingly and matter-of-factly as I can, but don't hear it addressed from the pulpit. Those living in the New England area, Boston area, come on, parents have been told when they said to the schools, you know, we'd like to know if you're going to be teaching about same-sex couples or about sexual acts between homosexuals, you know, we'd like to know if that's going to be taught. We want to pull our first grader out. No, you can't. You can't. We won't notify you. The courts have ruled. Yes, the courts have ruled. It's all documented in A Queer Thing Happened to America. The courts have ruled that it is more important to teach the children diversity than to honor the requests of the parents. D.C. now, same-sex marriage legalized in D.C. You have to understand this undermines the very foundation of male-female relationships and what God intended for marriage. And whether gay activists or not, like it or not, it's opened the door wide to the slippery slope whereby people are now talking about polyamory, multiple loving relationships, about consensual relationships between family members that are adults. These questions are now being put on the table, and people are using the arguments that gay activists have used in the courts, and they're using them now to argue for these other things. And why not? I've got a whole chapter in A Queer Thing Happened to America detailing what's happened in the media. I mean, we're not just talking about open lesbians, say, being talk show hosts or famous and popular actresses or gay actors. We're talking about systematic propaganda being fed to people. And it's all outlined. These were strategies that gay activists laid out years ago. Again, they believe they're doing what's right. It's transforming our country. You cannot avoid this. Maryland, just in the midst of a battle over same-sex marriage. New York. Houston, with a lesbian mayor, and she's made clear that quote, the rights of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community will become an important issue to her. I understand where she's coming from. But you know what's happening in America? It's happened in England, that when you have a conflict in the courts between sexual freedoms and religious freedoms are winning and religious freedoms are being lost. You know, week after week, people come to me and say, wow, I'm so sorry. You're right. Wow, I didn't realize. Bob in Hyattsville suggested that a reason that most of the church is so silent over this issue today is because it's complex. Are people born this way? Don't know how to address that, deal with all that, and A Queer Thing Happened to America. I encourage you, go to Amazon. You can order through our ministry, 800-278-9978, if you'd like to get a couple of copies at a discount, 800-278-9978. But before I give some copies away here on the air, I'm encouraging every one of you interested in this book, go to Amazon. It's a secular bookseller, Amazon.com online, and order from them. Why? Because we want to use this evangelistically, because as the orders go up on Amazon, it draws it to the attention of many secular and non-believing people. In fact, this has already been as high, before the book even came out, as number 7 on gay and lesbian nonfiction. So go ahead, do the evangelistic thing. Order on Amazon or order through our ministry, 800-278-9978. Order multiple copies for yourself or to give away. But we're going to address this head on. And here's my word of hope to you. It's not too late to turn the tide, because the church as salt and light has a message of hope and life and love and truth and moral sanity and family that is according to Scripture that'll be blessed by God. It is not too late to turn the tide. In the natural, too far gone. Things are far too pervasive in our school systems and so on. Far, far, far too deep entrenched ideologies throughout our society. Far too late to turn things in the natural. But with God, all things are possible. So here's our book giveaway. 866-34-TRUTH to the first caller from each of our different news stations. WMCA, WAVA, KKHT, WEZE, WHIM. The first caller, just call in with your answer to this question. Why is most of the church so silent over the issue of homosexuality today? You will get a free copy of a $27.99 hardcover volume, No Strings Attached, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Okay. Bob had to go. We shared his answer. Sandra in Boston. Boy, you are right in the thick of it there in Boston, Massachusetts, aren't you?
Yes, and it's raining. It's raining right now. In answer to your question, I think that the church really doesn't know what to do. And I think one thing that's happening is that as believers, we need to uphold the sanctity of marriage. Our divorce rate is high. We need to be the examples. And we also, you know, in terms of making sure that our marriages are intact, that our families are intact, that the divorce rate goes down, that people are faithful. And then also, we really need to approach this as loving those that are homosexual in the church, not ridiculing them, loving them into the kingdom. That's my perspective on it.
Yeah, Sandra, you're absolutely right. I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll get your name and address to send the book out to you. But let me just ask first, do you have school children?
Or I don't have any children at all.
Got it. All right. Because so much has happened. You know, gay and lesbian activists have actually used some of the Massachusetts school system as a model. And you can see videos from 10, 15 years ago, where the administrator is talking with the teachers about their calling to influence the kids, even if the parents don't agree, all the more to have to influence them. All right, Sandra, stay online there. Sandra raises a very important point. Martin Luther King said that the church must be reminded it's not the master of the state nor the servant of the state, but the conscience of the state. And that if we, the church, lose our moral and spiritual authority, that we will become an irrelevant social club. Because we have lost our moral and spiritual authority through rampant no-fault divorce. Again, this is not to condemn those who are victims of divorce and fighting for your family. But rampant no-fault divorce, because we have not valued life properly within the body, because we have opened the door with our compromise. This is not to throw stones at brothers and sisters who've struggled and fallen. But it's to say that because we become famous for sexual scandals and monetary scandals and other things like that, we've lost some of our moral authority to the world. The good news is if we will turn to the Lord in repentance in our own lives and get our own houses in order, that we will be able to speak life and truth to our society. Hey, quick word to our friends listening on WAVA FM. I know you're checking out now, but we have a full hour of the program airing 6 to 7 p.m. on your sister station, WAVA AM. So you can join us for the full hour there. Okay, I've got a whole lot of shocking stuff to talk to you about when we come back, but you need to hear it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to share with you something that the Lord laid on my heart that has really changed much of the course of my life, some of the journey I've been on the last 6 or 7 years. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us on the line of fire. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. We still have some free copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America to give away. Hey, listen, I would dare say if this book costs three times as much as the cover price, it would be worth it, because it's three or four or five books in one, and a good 6 years of my life poured into it, and tears and much prayer and a lot of discussion with precious gay and lesbian people loved by Jesus, but who have an agenda that I strongly differ with, as much as I love them as individual people. But we're going to be giving some free copies away. And I encourage everyone, everyone else that doesn't get a free copy, because we only have a few to give away. Everyone that is not able to get it, here's what you do. Order one. Oh, that's how, yeah, just go ahead and order one. Go to Amazon.com and order the book, and then write a review once you get it, because that's our evangelistic way of getting more and more secular readers to get it. God laid on my heart, don't write just for the church, write for the world. And this book is rapidly climbing up on the bestseller list of gay and lesbian nonfiction, which will get a lot of people to read it, a lot of people to think. If you'd like to get multiple copies, 800-278-9978 is directly to our ministry, 800-278-9978. All right. Before we go to the phones, Mark. Looks like Mark WMCA will be our first from New York City. And like I said on Monday, I was listening to MCA before MCA was saved and before I was saved. Here's what happened in my own life. Because I don't come from a homosexual background, this was never a major issue to me. I saw some of the societal things happening, quote, gay agenda stuff. Yeah, but it was just never a major issue to me. It was a sign of a lot of cultural upheaval. I know a lot of this came out of the tumultuous 60s, but it was never a major issue to me. We moved to Charlotte, North Carolina from Pensacola, Florida in 2003, 2004. Some of our folks went to a gay pride event in the city. And we're shocked. Here it is, Charlotte. I thought conservative, Bible Belt, whatever. You know, what did I know? And kind of shocked. Here's this gay pride event right in the main part of the city. Public park, little children walking around with some very vulgar, lewd things that if it was heterosexual, it'd be vulgar and lewd. And God begins to stir my heart, not in our city. There have been local Christians that had been involved with this. They invited us to participate, and we start getting shocked. God starts to burden me. Then the Human Rights Campaign comes to our city. This is the world's largest homosexual activist organization with a budget now of $45 million a year. Imagine that. All of our missionaries serving all over the world. This is a couple hundred people serving all over the world. Sacrificial gospel work. Their combined budget is like $2 million for all these people, all their families. So $45 million just for gay activism. This is just one of quite a few organizations. They come into our city for their annual fundraising dinner with $175 a plate, backed by Bank of America, backed by Wachovia Bank, backed by our local power company, Duke Energy. How are you going to boycott them, right? And they've got their goals. I mean, if you say marriage is the union of a man and woman, in their eyes, you're a radical anti-gay extremist. They want you in work policy to have special provision if someone's undergoing sex change operation, to have special bathroom provision for them. And if someone on the job says, you know, I just have an issue with calling Sam, Sally, and so on, you'd be fired. They come into our city, and one local gay activist says, this gives us an idea of what our city's going to look like in 5 or 10 years. And God starts stirring my heart, not in our city. We're not going to attack them. We're not going to bash them. No. Not in our city. We're going to put the issues on the table. And the Lord gave me a word. It's one of the truest things I've ever received. It was in January of 2005. I was actually at a pro-life event in Washington, D.C., and the Lord spoke to me, reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. If you're listening now, you've got a family member with same-sex attraction, and you yourself identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, you have no idea the depth of love that I have for you as an individual, and the degree to which I've tried to get in your shoes and identify with your struggles and identify with the pain that you carry and how you often view the church. And if there's ever an opportunity to sit down face to face, I'd love to do it. But reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the gay activist agenda with courage. Reach out and resist. That has been the burden of my heart. And we'll be back with more.
It's fire we want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the Line of Fire. I was talking about the word the Lord spoke to me, reach out and resist. Reach out to the people, those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist gay activist agenda with courage. Friends, this is different than just the issue of adultery or pornography or other things like that, because this is aggressively marching down our streets. This is pervasive in our school systems. This is pervasive coming our way through the media. This is now pervasive with our government, with the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and our president saying he will not enforce and defend a constitutionally upheld law, Defense of Marriage Act. I mean, this is radical. There are pastors who have been jailed for preaching gracious sermons differing with homosexual practice. I'm talking about Sweden. I'm talking about pastors in Canada who have been banned for speaking about this for life. I could give you examples, and I have them all in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, of college professors, of college administrators here in America, of students fired, put out of programs because they took issue with homosexual practice. You are not allowed to. You are not allowed to. Ooh. We're giving away some free books, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Simple question to answer. Why is most of the church so silent over the issue of homosexuality today? If you want to get involved in the discussion, go to my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. Great place to sign up, by the way, for tons of great ongoing resources that'll bless you, articles, videos, audios. Ask Dr. Brown. Ask Dr. Brown. Join me on Facebook daily for discussion about the program. Why is most of the church so silent over the issue of homosexuality today? Is it because it's a distraction from preaching the gospel and reaching out to gays and lesbians? Is it because the church is renouncing its bigotry towards gays and lesbians? Is it because pastors and leaders don't know what to say? Pastors and leaders are afraid to offend people and retreated from confronting sin? Is it something else? Let me get Mark's perspective. Hey, Mark, thanks for calling from New York City. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. My perspective on it is all of the above and fear. I think fear is at the foundation because I have been a practicing homosexual over the course of my life. I'm in my 50s now, and I was raped when I was 8 years old. So you can see that there was a lot of history from the age of eight to now. And I participated in all the parties and the celebrations and the parades until I was born again by the grace of God in my late 20s. But it's still been a struggle for all these years. And I think in the church, and I'm very thankful to be a part of a very godly church in New York City, in the church, I think there's a fear of exposing the truth and really pressing in and confronting the lies that are out in our society today. People are not born into homosexuality, absolutely, positively not. And people can be set free 100% completely, because the gospel says, he who the Lord sets free is free indeed. And if that is not true, I don't know what is. It's a cancer in our society, and it's overwhelming us. And those who are in positions of power and leadership and influence are being washed away. And I don't mean to demean, and I pray fervently for the healing and restoration of the brothers and sisters in Japan, but we are in a spiritual tsunami in the world today. And I believe homosexuality is that wave, as I see it.
Let me ask you this question, Mark. I do take up the issue of born that way in the book, not just in a typical, you know, right wing, I'm going to come with the standard answers, but I really probe the issues, and I try to let those on the gay and lesbian side speak as much as possible. But since you say that you were in that lifestyle for a number of years, obviously you didn't choose to have the feelings or attractions you had at a certain point in life. You chose to act on them, and then the Lord mercifully intervened in your life. But the story that you tell about being raped when you're eight, I hear so constantly, almost perpetually, say from men in terms of a same-sex violation. Many of the women, it was an opposite-sex violation that created an antagonism towards men. But when you were in that culture, Mark, and guys were sharing their stories, was that a common thing that you would hear in terms of the same type of things happening in their lives that happened in your life?
No, it wasn't. I think once you're in the culture, from my experience and those that I've been exposed to, you give over to it. It's like there's a dirty secret in the closet that nobody speaks about. And when you're taken into the culture, it's like, hey, we keep our dirty laundry in the closet, but we'll enjoy our promiscuity, we'll enjoy the lifestyle, a death style really, and we'll just go ahead and live our lives as open, proud, and gay, you know, and you know, it's really sad that some of the great words in our society have been usurped by this this life, this movement. Gay used to be a happy word, you know.
Yeah.
The rainbow, you know, signified God's, you know, a promise, you know, over the globe, not to destroy by water anymore, you know. And these are things that don't belong, you know, in the homosexual community, because they just don't. No, to get back to your question, it wasn't really discussed in detail about how one got into this. People pretty much, I think, had so much happen to them at such an early age where emotions get damaged, and they finally come to a point in their teens where they say, I'm gay, I'm out, I'm proud. And now they say it vocally and definitely in your face. But the fact is, there's been damage done, and it's been emotional, and it's been spiritual. And only the gospel says, you know, that the word is sharper than a two-edged sword, you know, that it might divide spirit from marrow and bone from marrow, rather. That there's a reason for that, because the Spirit of God and the Word of God can get in and really deal with the issues that people bury at a very young age, you know, as they're heading out into this lifestyle.
Mark, we've only got about 2 minutes before a break, but tell our listeners, they're in churches, they want to be helpful, they have a loved one that is struggling. What are some things that a church can do? We're not talking about in-depth ministry and those kind of things, but just that any believer can do that can really help make someone at home that's struggling with same-sex attraction or trying to come out of the lifestyle. We've only got a couple minutes, but what would be some of the best counsel that you could give?
Accept them for who they are, where they are at this moment in time. That means don't highlight, you know, any, you know, odd behaviors. You know, just receive them, invite them into the church, love them, preach the gospel, share the gospel. Don't try to beat them over the head with the Bible, but say to them, if the opportunity arises, I love you, but I don't love your sin. And I don't accept this as anything but sin, because that's what it is, Romans 1. The book of Romans is a great place for a believer or a non-believer to read and study and apply, you know, into this issue. Let me just jump in
and reaffirm what Mark is saying. The people that are coming in, especially to a church setting, they're already feeling rejected, judged, apprehensive, wondering if they're going to get bashed, wondering if someone in the first sermon is going to start screaming, you know, all these homos go to hell or have some bad experience, or if maybe their behavior is a little different, they're going to be judged. And you think somebody can come up and say to the pastor, I've been struggling with pornography, and, you know, they'll help that person, or we've just been through a terrible divorce. They'll help that person. Someone else says, I'm struggling with homosexuality. It's like, ooh, you have the cooties. Or else, just embrace the person, but in a non-redemptive way where we don't help them get where they need to get. So, Mark, thank you for sharing your testimony and for being who you are in God. Stay on the line, and it will be my joy to send you a copy of my new book. Thanks for the call, Mark. I appreciate it.
And thank you so much for your work, brother.
All right. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. We still have a couple more stations. If you have been, you don't know because you haven't been listening necessarily to every second of the program. So I'm giving away a couple more free copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America. And if you are listening on WHIM in Miami or KKHT in Houston, I've just been doing it with the first caller from each new city on the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. But here's how you earn the free book. Answer the question, why is most of the church so silent over the issue of homosexuality today? Is it because it's a distraction from preaching the gospel and reaching out to gays and lesbians? Is it because the church is renouncing its bigotry towards gays and lesbians? Is it because pastors and leaders don't know what to say? Is it because pastors and leaders are afraid to offend people and have retreated from confronting sin? Or something else? I'll give you my own views when we come back and share a little bit more about why this is an issue we cannot avoid right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, this has been a great day so far. I woke up this morning and there were, on my personal Facebook page, which has 5,000 plus people, but it's not the one that we post all of our good ministry stuff. That's Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. But woke up to hundreds and hundreds of happy birthday greetings. And great surprise at our School of Ministry today. We do these periodic debates in a theological controversies class. So the way it's set up, I will be asked to debate someone, in this case, a colleague, a pastor leader of our church. And I don't get the subject until the time of the debate. So as the debate is being introduced, I find out what the subject is and what side I have to take. So we did that and had a special birthday celebration. And I've been giving away some free books, but all of you that want a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, trust me, it's worth the cover price and much more. It's several books in one. Could be the most controversial book of the decade, the book the publishers were afraid to touch. And before the show's out, I'll share what some folks told us that wouldn't go near the book. Go to Amazon.com. Order online from Amazon. Do it as soon as you get an opportunity, okay? Because that will get the book into the hands of many more secular readers. All right? 866-34-TRUTH to call in. Still have room maybe to get a call from Houston or Miami. If you're a first-time listener, we're giving away books to the first callers from different cities today. I want to grab one call, though, from Reverend Eli. Since you are in ministry, what you are about to say is of real interest to me. So, sir, why do you think it is that most of the church is so silent over the issue of homosexuality?
Yes, good afternoon, doctors. My name is Reverend Dr. Eli Delores. I'm driving, but I have something in my ear. Let me tell you, one of the reasons is money. Yeah, because some of the preachers, some of the pastors, they want, you know, attract people in the church by ignoring the real problem, the real issue, like homosexuality, lesbian lifestyle is a sin. And I read in the Leviticus Bible that God has condemned that lifestyle and by death. Do you understand? I'm confident that we need those people to be converted. But we have to tell them the truth. Tell them that the lifestyle they're doing, that will lead to death. The Bible said it clearly. It will be like spiritual death, that's one death, and physical death. Because in those lifestyle, they're promiscuous. People have several partners. They can get HIV. They can get any other STDs, sexual transmitted disease. Those of you who are listening, if you have getting involved in those kind of lifestyle, you have to change, and God will make you a new creature. Apostle Paul has said it clearly: when you accept Christ, you become a new creature. Including if you have a bad lifestyle, you'll be changed.
So, thank you, sir, for the call. I appreciate it. And your bottom line is that sometimes pastors, leaders, people in ministry, could be radio, whatever, are afraid to address certain issues because it's costly, cost them supporters, cost them money. And we need to bring the message of mercy and salvation to people that are involved in a destructive lifestyle. Thank you, sir, for the call. Drive safely. Listen, the fact of the matter is, There are many things that there were death penalties for in the scriptures, and Jesus through his blood offers us mercy. Listen, we'd all be fried. We would all be fried. We would all be toast. We would all be severely judged, okay? And hellbound if we had to answer for our sins. Thank God for the cross. What this reverend is saying, though, is that sometimes we don't want to talk about things because they're costly. I believe, on the one hand, we don't always know what to say and how to handle this issue. And we don't want to appear to be driving people away by just getting political or social. However, that being the case, I also believe to a great extent we have lost our moral courage. To a great extent, I believe we have lost our moral courage. Look, I go to publish this book. I've written 20 books. I'm well published with solid companies. I go to publish this book. A conservative pundit tells me book publishing is a difficult business now, and no media is willing to promote a book that opposes homosexuality. Economic self-interest is going to make it very tough for a publisher to say yes. Conservative publisher. There'd be a very concrete, though difficult to measure, financial penalty to pay for publishing your book. Practically speaking, it could actually destroy the firm. Best-selling conservative author told me, honestly, there's no New York publisher who'll touch this manuscript. The head of a New York City publicity firm told me, he spoke with his team and he doesn't have anyone willing to take on my book. Publishing Insider told me, I'd be better off burning the money in my fireplace. The economics of publishing a book like this are bleak. Top literary agent farmed the book out to different publishers. Most thought the material was too controversial. All felt the title would need to be changed. You know what we did? I got encouraged. I rejoiced. I knew God was with me to write this book to awaken the conscience of the nation. I took all those quotes and put them on the back cover of the book. Aha. Uh-huh. That's right. Absolutely. All right. I got time for one more call. Mary in Houston, Texas on KKHT. Welcome as our first caller. We're real short on time, so give us your answer and we'll send your free book.
Yes, I think it's everything that everybody has said, including I think that the church has been taken over by the political correct philosophy. About 50% of pastors don't even believe, you know, that the Bible is the inspired word of God, and they have bought into all this political correct stuff. I'm fixing to leave my denomination because we've been taken over too. We're ordaining practicing homosexuals. And if you say anything about it, you know, then you're
bigoted, hateful, intolerant,
exactly.
And unchristian. Yeah,
exactly.
Mary, I wish I had more time to talk to you, but you are right on. Stay on the line, and we will send you a free copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. Friends, I'm not talking about hitting people over the head with a Bible. I'm talking about giving them the message of liberation, the message of freedom, the message of salvation by telling them the truth that God has a better way. And I'm here never to bash my fellow brothers, sisters, ministers, pastors, leaders. I want to help. I want to strengthen. I want to equip. Let us know how we can help you. Write to me at askdrbrown.org. That's askdrbrown.org. And check out the hundreds of hours of free resources that we have for you on the website at askdrbrown.org. And those that want to get multiple copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America at a discount, here's the number to call right now, 800-278-9978. 800-278-9978. You can get multiple copies at a discount. My bottom line then is this. We need, friends, an awakening in our own hearts and lives that will shake us out of what the media has been telling us, shake us out of what the society has been telling us, shake us out of the compromise that surrounds us, shake us out of the moral malaise, and help us to remember that God created male and female for a reason, that God's ways really are best, that the soul of our nation, from our children right up through our churches, is in balance right now, is under attack right now. Let us stand and be strong. It's not too late. Turn the tide. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who said the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world it leaves to its children. What kind of world are we leaving to our children?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world it leaves to its children. Do you know King Hezekiah, great king? Do you know he ended his life, his last recorded words in Scripture, on a real, real low, bad note? I'm going to talk to you about it today. This is going to be an eye-opening broadcast, so fasten your seatbelts, those with high blood pressure. Hang on. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Yeah, it is my birthday, turning 56 years old today. And because of that, it says in the Bible, it's more blessed to give than receive. I'm going to give away some copies of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, $27.99 value, hardcover, beautiful 700-page book. I'm looking at it right now. Oh, just the cover and the back cover alone are worth the price of the book. Trust me on that. Write this number down, jot it down, have it ready. Don't call yet because you don't know why you're calling yet, but I'm going to be giving out free books to the first caller from different cities. The new cities we're on, the new stations where we're on this week with The Line of Fire. Some of you have been listening for years like, I don't get a free book. Hey, we've given away free stuff for several years. So here's an opportunity for our new listeners. 866-34-TRUTH is the number, 866-348-7884. There is a discussion taking place, an active, very helpful discussion taking place on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown. Ask Dr. Brown. If you're not part of our Facebook community, sign up there. This way, every day, we have a new video that comes out. We have new materials that come out. We have a new article in our Voice of Revolution online magazine. You'll be the first to know it. Most every day, I post a question online. In terms of what we're talking about on the broadcast, you get to weigh in. We often have fabulous comments. Many times I'll read them on the air because they're so good. So be part of that community. Join in the discussion. And I'm going to be real candid with you today and talk about some things a lot of people don't want to talk about. In fact, if this show was airing in Canada today, I probably would not be able to air it. And it might not be able to air in Britain and in other parts of Europe. Oh, yeah, I'm not one of these sky is falling, chicken little, it's all over sensationalistic kind of people. No, I'm just telling you the truth today. What kind of world are we going to leave to our children? Okay, King Hezekiah. Here we go. He's godly king. He gets deathly ill. He prays. God gives him 15 more years. You know the story. It's in 2 Kings and it's in Isaiah. God gives him 15 more years. And then after he recovers, he welcomes envoys from Babylon. Now, why did they come? Well, because Assyria was the great enemy of the day, and they're probably come and say, hey, you know, Judah, you were threatened by Assyria. We're here. Let's form an alliance. Whatever it is, it wasn't good. Okay, they were idolaters, pagans, and the next great enemy for Judah. In fact, the folks that were going to take Judah into exile, the next great enemies, who are they? They are the Babylonians. So Hezekiah is meeting with the Babylonians, and he shows them the temple. He shows them all the treasures. And Isaiah says, who came to visit? Who came to visit? Oh, Babylonians. What'd you show them? I showed them everything. You showed them everything? He said, those are the very people. Your sons, your grandsons are going to go into exile with them, and the temple treasures are going to be taken into exile. You know what Hezekiah says? Yo, it's one of the wimpiest statements by a man of God in the Bible. You know what Hezekiah says? Well, the word of the Lord's good, because there'll be peace and safety in my day. Oh, yeah, let all hell break loose on my kids. Let all hell break loose on my grandkids. But it'll be peace and safety in my day. Let's break with the Hezekiah syndrome today, friends. Let's break with the Hezekiah syndrome, and let's ask, what kind of world are we going to leave to our kids and grandkids? What you're about to hear on the other side of the break will be a wake-up call you will not forget.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. We are about to give away some free copies of The Queer Thing Happened to America. But I want to encourage every one of you to buy this book. I guarantee you it will be perhaps the most eye-opening, certainly one of the most eye-opening, if not the most eye-opening book you have ever read in your life. Every pastor, every leader, every person involved in the educational system, every parent, every human being, how's that, needs to read this book. It will open your eyes in such a way that it will cause you to see the world differently. But I'm going to be giving away a few free copies, 866-34-TRUTH, to our first caller from Atlanta, WNIV, or from Tampa, WTBN or WTWD, from Portland, KPDQ, or from Honolulu, KGU. Here's the question. Why is most of the church so silent over the issue of homosexuality today? You say, brother, you're making a big issue. Homosexuality, that's the big issue? That's what you're talking about? Come on, man, the church has moved past that. Come on, man, you just sound so intolerant and bigoted. Come on, surely you know that you know, you can't hit people over the head with the Bible anymore? Come on, there's so many more important issues. People are dying in Japan. You've got poverty around the world and starving babies. We're still dealing with abortion. We're dealing with human trafficking. We're dealing with other types of injustice. We got kids that aren't even educated in our school system. We got Islam rising. You're going to talk to us about homosexuality? You must be a homophobe. No, actually not. This is a burden that the Lord thrust on my heart, and he spoke to me, reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. To those listening who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, if we sat down face to face, you'd know that I'm anything but a Bible-bashing homophobe. In fact, I've shed tears for you that you might not have shed for yourself, because my heart goes out to you, because I recognize the rejection you've had to deal with and the conflict, especially if you're raised in a religious home. And I recognize how you look at people like me. I care deeply about every individual for whom Jesus died, and that is you, that is me. I will reach out to you any way I know how. I will defend you as a human being from hatred, from violence, from whatever would come against you to destroy you. At the same time, I will firmly resist the gay activist agenda that is telling us what our kids can learn from preschool up through university level, that is influencing the business world, that is influencing basically every aspect of our culture. Here, let me just read to you. From the schools in Massachusetts. In Brookline, a transsexual told first graders how his penis was cut off and he became a woman. With no sense of irony, the Boston Globe called it sex change counseling. Parents never notified how to comfort their terrified children. Newton North High School, pupils learned in an R-rated film how Ludo enjoys being a girl, borrowing mommy's red high heels, her lipstick, her earrings. Yummy! Trouble is, 7-year-old Ludo is a boy, even if he is pretty in pink. Ashland children were instructed to play homosexuals in a skit. This goes all the way back to 1994. Today in the schools in Massachusetts, if you say, you know, I'd like to pull my kids out during the same-sex education classes, you can't. They will not notify you, number one. And number two, the courts have ruled. The courts have ruled. It is more important to teach diversity than to honor the request of the parents. I'm reading from the ruling. This is in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Diversity is a hallmark of our nation. It is increasingly evident that our diversity includes differences in sexual orientation. And it goes on saying, more important that we teach these things to the kids, that we teach them about same-sex marriage and homosexuality being perfectly acceptable and fine, then we honor the request of the parents. I quote in a Queer Thing Happened to America from a Canadian organization where they explicitly say we must dishonor the traditional beliefs of the parents. Quote, we must dishonor the prevailing belief that heterosexuality is the only acceptable orientation, even though that would mean dishonoring the religious beliefs of Christians, Jews, Muslims, etc. Friends, this is reality. The difference between this and, say, adultery, pornography, no-fault divorce, other things that attack the family, the difference is that there are not adultery pride parades in our city. they're not attempts to talk about the glories of divorce to kindergarten children. There is not the stifling of disagreement on this, whereas this subject, the moment you raise it, look, someone just sent me a note. They were looking for me online and couldn't find me. They thought I was put off the air because of this. Dr. Laura, major, major radio personality. And I document this all in A Queer Thing Happened to America, a massive chapter on the media where I talk about this. Dr. Laura is going to go on the air on TV. She's big on the radio. She's gently, graciously taken issue with homosexual practice. She's going to go on TV. She loses something like $33 million of advertisers because of gay boycott, because they said, we will stop you from getting on TV. They stopped Dr. Laura. By God's grace, they won't stop Dr. Brown, because I'm not relying on advertising campaign money. I'm relying on God and the support through his people to speak the truth. One friend said to me, Mike, you do this, you're committing ministry suicide. That one pastor of a major church in a major city listening right here, I know it, said that he's the only one in his circle of pastors that will even address this issue at all. People running from it as opposed to speaking the truth in love. Why? Why is most of the church so silent over the issue of homosexuality today? 866-34-TRUTH. All right, we have a winner of a free book listening on WNIV in Atlanta. James, what's your take, sir?
Dr. Brown?
Yes, sir.
First, hello. How are you doing? I think we've lost the fear of God in the church, in much of the church. We want to please men more than we want to please God.
Mm.
And what it basically comes down to, I'm a minister, and it comes down to what is true in much of our life, all of our sin issues and all of our major issues in the church and as individuals comes to an issue we're not rightly related to God. Our view of God is way too small. And so we're praying, as I know you are, and we're working, as I know you are, to return the supremacy of Christ, the supremacy of who he is, who he is in his church and who his church is to be in him, to stand up, contend for truth, and resist error.
Yeah, James, you have stated things in a very articulate fashion. I agree with every word that you spoke. And it's almost like a spirit's come over people that they've just retreated from this and run from it. Whereas, in fact, the Bible hasn't changed. And it's not even like we have science that's told us anything differently. And you remember Jeremiah, the 12th chapter, where Jeremiah, the end of the 11th chapter, his family wants to kill him in his hometown of Anatot. And the beginning of the 12th chapter, he kind of cracks, he breaks, and he cries out to God, knowing that God's going to have an answer. But just like, this is not fair, this is not right. And God says to him, you know, if you're worn out running with footmen, how are you going to make it with a horseman? If you can't make it, in other words, in Anatot, this little city, how are you going to make it in Jerusalem? So if we have compromised in the small areas, if we have been afraid to confront the small areas, if we have been more concerned with pleasing people than pleasing God in the small areas, now you get something big where the whole culture is coming against you. Whoa, it's going to be very difficult for people to stand up. James, let's continue to strengthen and encourage our brothers and sisters preaching the gospel. Stay on the line, sir, and we will send you a free copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. Okay. Still time. If you're listening in Tampa, Portland, or Honolulu, the first caller to call in and answer my question, why is most of the church so silent over the issue of homosexuality today? You will get a free copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. By the way, those who've been wanting us to talk more about Japan, my wife and I constantly looking at the footage from there, thinking, praying, considering these issues, our hearts going out to the people. I have a two-hour debate on the Bible and the problem of suffering. Does the Bible provide an adequate answer to the problem of suffering? You can watch it for free on our website. Go to askdrbrown.org. That's askdrbrown.org. And just right on the homepage, you'll see recently added media. There is the debate with Bart Ehrman. Just sign in. Registration is free. And you can watch the debate 2 hours. Why do I refer you there? Because it was my best public answer thus far to deal with the problem of suffering and to deal with how we as believers have an answer whereas those who deny God do not have an answer. But there are no cheap answers. I will say that very, very plainly. And probably later in the week, I'll talk about, is it right for us to speculate? Well, was it judgment, or why did this happen? Is it right for us to speak those things out? Tomorrow, I'm going to talk to you about why I, as a Jew, believe in Jesus. And then next week, plan to take up the issue of the new Rob Bell book. Does he teach universalism? What's his view? Has he gone heretical? We'll take that up. We'll also tell you why Jesus is not coming on May 21st of this year. That's coming your way this week, this coming week. But right now, here's the focus. We must change what we are doing. Otherwise, we're going to have to apologize to our kids and our grandkids. We're going to come back with some shocking news from England on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. We promise on the Line of Fire to be a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. That means Jesus changing us and we go change our world. That means radical, dramatic, sweeping change. That means the kingdom of God coming in conflict with the kingdom of this world. How? Hatred, violence, bigotry, intimidation, anger, rebellion? No. The love of God, the truth of Jesus, the dividing line of Scripture, us living lives that are different and reaching out to every human being and offering them mercy, salvation, transformation, and a changed life. That's what's going to happen. That's what it's going to take. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We still have a few more copies to give away of A Queer Thing Happened to America. We're about to be greeted by a whole bunch more listeners on the other side of the half-hour break from different cities. So this is your chance. If your city has not yet been represented, where's my list here? Portland and Honolulu. There's still room for you. 866-34-TRUTH. Call and answer this question. Why is most of the church so silent over the issue of homosexuality today? And we'll give you a free copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. To everybody else, go to Amazon.com, order one online. Yeah, it's secular, but I'm telling you why. It's going to get it exposed to many more secular readers. This book is not just for the church. It's written for the world. It's already been as high as number 7 on gay and lesbian nonfiction. We want people to read it that would not normally read it. So go to Amazon.com and order your copy. All right. I shared last week something that happened. Many of you may not be aware of this. Foster couple in England. They've adopted kids. They've provided foster care for kids. These are fine Christian people, according to the accounts. They were told they can no longer adopt children. They can no longer adopt children. Why? Because they will not affirm homosexuality in the home. And that would then go against the society, which says you must affirm it. Yeah, they can no longer adopt kids. And this is the same England where Elton John, his partner, just had a baby. And come on, you walked into a grocery store and you saw that magazine of Elton John and his partner with a baby and maybe didn't even notice it. Oh, they had a baby. I mean, that's how brainwashed we've become. There is a Christian counselor, a therapist in England. A man came to her and said, I'm struggling with homosexual desires. I want to change. She said, well, we're Bible-based. We believe God can change people. Great. He tapes the whole thing. She's about to lose her license for saying that someone can change. There's been a battle with psychiatrists and psychologists here in America where if you simply say, look, I can't counsel a person, you know, I'll counsel a homosexual, but I can't affirm them in their relationship. There's been a battle over whether that person can lose their credentials. In fact, we've got someone on the line here that can shed some light on this. Dr. Daniel in Tampa. Thanks for calling in, sir. Tell us your medical background and tell us about this, what's happening in the realm of psychology today.
Hey, Dr. Brown. It's good to talk with you again. Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
I'm calling my credential. I'm a doctorate in counseling psychology. I'm licensed in the state of Minnesota, Michigan as well, and Florida. I currently live in Tampa, Florida. I specialize in the treatment of anxiety disorder. But work in a general practice, doing a lot of assessment, intelligence testing, and overall treatment of trauma and anxiety disorders. Let me shed some...
Yeah, please, go ahead.
just shed some light. There's I'm very much engaged in what's going on in the field of psychology in a number of different areas. But one of the things that made me curious is the I'm very engaged in the training of upcoming psychologists. And an APA-accredited internship site and practicums throughout the U.S. of A. What's going on in America is that in the past, you used to be able to refer based on a skill set. So in other words, if you're a training practicum student and you assess a patient and they have an eating disorder or if they have fibromyalgia or if they have a particular anxiety disorder like obsessive compulsive disorder and you don't have training in that area, the expectation is that you would assess and refer. That would be a medical, a good medical, sound medical decision to refer to someone that has expertise in that area. Well, when you come across a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual student, say in a college setting, in the past, it used to be expected that you would refer if you don't have skills in that area or if you had conservative values and you don't, and your values are not similar to that student who's interested in exploring a gay orientation, it would be appropriate to refer. Well, now, one of the shifts in the culture, and I think it's happening right now, within the last 3 to 4 years, one of the shifts is that if you, it's not, you no longer can you refer if you have dissimilar values. Now it's expected, and they use the word an ethical psychologist. Mm-hmm. An ethical psychologist is somebody that has values that affirms and supports GLBT views and attitudes. And so referring is not expected. Now it's unethical to do an informed consent and refer.
All right. So folks, I hope you followed what was just said. You're a counselor. You're a trained counselor, psychologist, psychiatrist, therapist. Someone comes to you, say a woman, she's in a lesbian relationship, and you're happy to counsel her, but she wants to be affirmed in her relationship, or you're told by the organization where you are or the school where you're being licensed that you need to affirm the relationship and say, you know, according to my religious convictions, I can't do that, or my conservative moral convictions, I can't do that. So can I refer her to someone else? You'd be penalized for that. There have been people, Daniel, who've lost their jobs. There's the famous case of Julia Ward, who was in a grad program in Michigan and had to do counseling, ran into this very situation. Here she's a Black American woman, so you'd think there'd be less tendency to discriminate against her, more sensitivity because of that. Julia Ward says, you know, in good conscience, I'm happy to counsel this person, but I can't affirm them in their homosexual relationship. Asked her professor, what should I do? The professor says, well, no problem, just refer this person to someone else. It ends up getting reported. She has been thrown out of the school. She was subject to an inquisition where they mocked her religious beliefs. She was thrown out of the program, and the courts have actually upheld that. We are talking about the removal of our freedom of conscience, are we not?
That's right. Yeah, and what's happening in the field of psychology, which I think is still having a positive impact in some areas, especially medical areas in our society. But what's happening is in the field of psychology, it's now moving towards training. You're now expected to have a multicultural worldview.
Right. Which means pro-homosexual, yeah. Anti-Christian. Hey, we're up against a break. I'm going to put you on hold. I want to send you a free copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. But thank you, sir, for the call. I appreciate it very much. There is a whole chapter in the book on the stifling of scientific evidence that will blow you away. Order a copy now. A Queer Thing Happened to America. Go to Amazon.com. Order it. Then once you get the book, as soon as you have a chance to get into it, post a review on Amazon, because there's going to be some hostility coming our way.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there's an amazing passage in 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter, and it talks about the mighty men that joined with David to help turn the kingdom over to his hands in Hebron. And they're warriors, they're soldiers, they're armed, they're battle-tested. And then it mentions in verse 32, sons of Issachar, the heads of tribes, just 200. It's only 200 people, right? Not a lot. It doesn't say they were battle-tested. It doesn't mention their weaponry. It says this: they understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Oh, they were an essential part of the army. Friends, my question, what time is it and what should God's people do? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I've been asking the question on the program today, what is the pressing moral issue? What is the key thing that we can't avoid? Look, I could make a great case for abortion. I could make a great case for dealing with human trafficking. I could make a great case for dealing with injustice and poverty. I could make a great case for many other issues. But there is one that is knocking at our door. There is one that is marching down our streets. There is one that, through the media, has brainwashed us. There is one from pre-kindergarten through the highest level of university that is basically out to steal our religious freedoms, our freedoms of conscience, to the point that even standing for biblical truth could well be illegal in days to come. And I'm not exaggerating, and I'm not into hype. My PhD is in Near Eastern languages and literatures, which means as carefully as I know, I do research. I look into things as specifically as I know how. I've documented them in a 700-page book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and what a long, strange trip it's been. And it's my birthday today. Yeah, it's my birthday. But, you know, Facebook these days, you get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of birthday greetings, which have warmed my heart. But I'm giving away a few free copies of the book to our first-time listeners in our new cities. So we've just been joined at this half-hour break by folks listening in WFIL in Philadelphia, WHKW in Cleveland, KRKS in Denver, KPXQ in Phoenix. So here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. The question is, very simple, why is so much of the church so silent when it comes to the issue of homosexuality? I talk about this because it's something God laid on my heart. Reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. When I talk about this, immediately, folks will send me notes. Here's some friends, one of our grads that was on the mission field for a while, now married, serving the Lord here in the States with her husband. She sends me notes, someone that they knew as a kid. Church's transgender pastor, grateful for life beyond my wildest dreams. Reverend Malcolm Himshute knows about profound transformation. This is DenverPost.com. Born female, Himshute chose as a young adult to become male, despite fears he'd be lonely, unemployable, cast aside by other Christians. So here's someone who had sex change surgery, probably was a cross-dresser before that. Now the married father of three-year-old twin, I wonder if he's married father. He may be a fine gentleman. He may be a very caring gentleman. He's celebrating God's goodness. He says, you're talking about someone had sex change surgery. How would you feel about someone chopped a leg off because they were not at home with a leg, or chopped an arm off because they were tormented by the presence of an arm? Here's someone mutilated their organs, now probably has to be on hormones for the rest of her slash his life. And I don't say that in a mean-spirited way towards this precious individual that God deeply loves. But it's transgender pastor. Come on, who would have imagined that, friends? This is the day in which we're living. We need to wake up to reality. But the church is often silent. People struggling in the churches with same-sex attraction, family members struggling, kids that are convinced they're a boy trapped in a girl's body. The church doesn't know what to do. And many times we are afraid to do it. I've had pastors call in over the broadcast, run an hour and a half before we get to this point of the day, saying it's money and it's fear. And look at Cheryl's comments here from Jacksonville. We'll get you on the other side of the break, but a whole lot more to come right here on The Line of Fire. Order Queer Thing Happened to America, Amazon.com. Order it now.
Fire we want, for fire we please. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for being with us on this special day, my 56th birthday. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. In honor of this day, since it's more blessed to give than to receive, I'm giving away a few more copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America. Those that just tuning into the show, number to call 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We do 2 hours of broadcasting a day. Some stations carry 1 hour, some stations carry a half hour. But later in the day, you can catch up. All the shows are online. You can also subscribe by podcast. You need to go to askdrbrown.org, click on The Line of Fire. When you go there, you'll find archives of hundreds of shows, debates I've had over the issue of Calvinism, a discussion I had with author Dr. Paul Copan about is God a moral monster, a full interview with evangelist Reinhard Bonnke yesterday, shows through the months on a wide range of subjects. Does the Bible send a mixed message on sexuality? Lots and lots of relevant subjects, and you can do a search on the Line of Fire site. So that's askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Later in the day, you can catch up on any program that you missed. The question again we've asked, why is most of the church so silent over the issue of homosexuality today? If you are a first-time listener on one of our new Line of Fire stations, call me now at 866-34-TRUTH with your answer to that question. And we'll send you a free copy of this $27.99 beautiful hardcover edition, A Queer Thing Happened to America. I spent almost 6 years of my life writing this because I was tremendously burdened by God that we must awaken the conscience of the nation. Film critic Michael Medved said this, "A Martian gathering evidence about American society simply by monitoring our television would certainly assume that there were more gay people in America than there are evangelical Christians." And you know what else they'd assume? That gay people, every one, nice, creative, family-friendly, joyful, happy, gracious people, and the evangelical Christians to a person, mean-spirited, bigoted, hypocritical, greedy, angry, judgmental, intolerant. Yale Kramer, writing the American Spectator, said this, "Hollywood always rewards young actors for taking risks in the service of homosexual values." Elizabeth Taylor said this, "If it weren't for gays, honey, there wouldn't be a Hollywood." And Michael Kinsley, writing in Time Magazine, June 2007, "The Quiet Gay Revolution," said this, "The debate of 14 years ago about gays in the military seems almost quaint. Kids grow up today with gay friends, gay parents of friends, and gay friends of parents. Kids are also exposed constantly to an entertainment culture in which gays are not merely accepted, but in some ways dominant. You rarely see a reality show without a gay cast member, while Rosie O'Donnell is a coveted free agent and Ellen DeGeneres is America's sweetheart." Gay activists called for this, called for the transformation of American thinking through propaganda fed to the media. I've got the quotes documented in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. In other words, they felt that they wanted to change the thinking of the American people and that this, through the media, was a great way to do it. You know, maybe you're watching a sitcom. Maybe you're watching Law and Order. Maybe you're watching Boston Legal. Maybe you're watching some of these other shows or West Wing when it was on. I'm not familiar with most of the shows from watching them personally, but I got online and researched and went to YouTube and looked at clips and have the transcripts of these shows where it's... The people that have the view that someone can change, which is a biblical view, that someone can come out of homosexuality, those people are the hypocrites and maybe even murderers and certainly bigoted, certainly greedy. And there's no such thing as the ability to change. All the sympathies will go towards, you know, the little boy who's convinced he's a girl in a boy's body. Look, I was on the Tyra Banks show last year, and I wasn't talking about fashion. I was brought on as an expert to discuss the issue. Is there such a thing as transgender children? Are kids born in the wrong body? An entire show of 60 minutes, I was the only voice during a five-minute segment at that. I was the only voice raising a different view. In fact, Randy, if you can find that link on YouTube, it's Transgender Children Part 5 with Tyra Banks. Let's put it on the Line of Fire website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. I was the only one saying, you know, it's better to get the kid to be at home from the inside out. Better to change him from the inside out. As psychologist Dr. Paul McHugh said, the problem is not in the member, the physical member, the sexual member, it's in the mind. and you don't give liposuction to an anorexic because this person is convinced that they're fat. No, you help them from the inside out, because the problem is not a physical problem initially that they're dealing with. It's something on the inside that needs help. I was the only voice arguing for that. They brought out little kids, 7, 8 years old. Here's Johnny, used to be Jane. Now it's Johnny. Here's Jane, used to be Joe. And they're bringing the kids out, and everybody clapping and all the sympathies with them. And my heart goes out to these families. But to say, you know, it's better not to send the boy to school dressed as a girl. And then when he gets into his teen years, put him on hormone blockers and then mutilate his sexual organs and then put him on hormones for the rest of his life. There's a better way. Now you are the bigoted, intolerant person. How dare you even speak about it? Friends, this is happening on our watch. This is happening on our watch. Do you know that now our passports, you're a foreigner applying for a passport, it gives you an option instead of mother, father, it's parent A, parent B, because maybe it's same-sex household. Birth certificates in Spain, it says progenitor A and progenitor B. You don't have mom and dad anymore. Park Day School in Oakland, among others, they line up kids by sneaker color rather than by gender because they don't want to box kids into something they're not comfortable with. On our watch, this is happening, friends. We've lost track of what it means to be male, female in our own lives, it seems, in the church. If we can recover this, society can be changed, because this is God's way. This is wholeness. This is what he intended for the human race. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go to the phones. Cheryl in Jacksonville, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello?
Yes.
What's your take, Cheryl? You're on the air. Why are the churches so silent about this issue?
I think a lot of churches are silent only because of the fact of they're being blessed because, you know, we used to have freedom of speech, and freedom of speech is being taken away from us, where if we talk bad about people, we get put in jail for it, and it's ridiculous. There are people in church who don't even talk about it no more, where kids are so confused. They see them at school, and parents are not teaching them right from wrong. But I've seen a young girl who's been brought up in the church, and her parents wouldn't teach her, and the church wasn't teaching her, and she went out, and it was like she couldn't even be brought back in, even though her church was telling her, no, she's wrong, but they won't teach why it's wrong.
Yeah.
And what's the purpose?
Yeah, you know, and Cheryl, sorry to jump in. You know, Jesus said, if you save your life, you lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. Many times we're more concerned with saving our lives, saving our reputations, saving our ministry, our whatever it is, than doing what's right. Hey, tell you what, even though you're not on one of our new stations to join us, I want to send you a free copy of my book. So stay on hold right there, Cheryl. Thanks so much. Can I say this really plainly? I have publicly apologized to those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender. I have publicly apologized on several occasions. Why? Because we have not recognized the struggles that many people go through dealing with same-sex attractions, those that don't desire to have same-sex attractions, those who are raised in a religious home, those who are conflicted. We don't understand the struggles. Many times we're deeply insensitive. Many times the main impression people get is that we're trying to push them away, that if they say, I'm struggling in this area, that you can't get, oh, I may get AIDS if I talk to you. Oh, you're going to come after my kids and be a sexual predator. And we have so many stereotyped ideas and exaggerated ideas that we drive people away and often hurt people more than we help them. If you're listening and you identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, for me, I want to offer an apology on behalf of other Christian leaders for ways that we have not reached out to you, for ways that we have given you the feeling that you're a leper that can't come near us, for giving you the feeling as if Jesus died for everyone but by you. Please forgive me, forgive us for that. I will do whatever I can to see you find wholeness in Jesus and do whatever I can to protect you from attack or discrimination. At the same time, I will stand against the goals of gay activism, which I believe are ultimately destructive and not in the best interest of America or society. Hey, listen, I've been encouraging folks to get hold of this book I've worked on for 6+ years, A Queer Thing Happened to America. We've got a special announcement. You can get some at a discounted price right now by calling this number. Stick with us for the special announcement.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, I'm really serious about this thing. I'm really serious about believing that there can be a moral, spiritual, cultural revolution. I'm really serious about believing that as God's people are changed, society will change, not through some strong arm tactics on our part, not trying to force everyone to believe what we believe, but by living differently as salt and light, or in the words of Martin Luther King, as the conscience of the society, we inevitably bring about change. That's why it was Christian leaders who were instrumental in the freeing of the slaves, Christian leaders who were instrumental in the civil rights movement, Christian leaders who were instrumental in India and banning the practice of burning the widow with her husband when the husband would die. Christians who were instrumental in the ending of infanticide in the early church world and the ending of the gladiatorial contest. Why? Because we're changed. People come to know the Lord. They're changed. Society's changed. There's still hope, but we must recognize the seriousness of the moment. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We've been asking the question why most of the church is so silent today over the issue of homosexuality, even helping people with same-sex attraction, let alone addressing gay activism in the culture. I just got a note amening what our last caller had to say. Let's go back to the phones. Jane in Atlanta, thank you for calling The Line of Fire today. So what's your take? Why is most of the church silent today over this issue?
Hello, Dr. Brown. Just want to say it first. I'm very excited that you're here in Atlanta, and I've been recommending your book to all who will listen. But to answer the question, I believe it starts with fear. I believe any time the majority takes a position on something, even if you have a strong belief opposing, people will find a way to migrate towards what the majority says, the majority rules. And as one of your callers stated earlier, there is a definite lack of fear for God in our communities, in and out of the church. But one thing I will say, if I can just briefly say,
sure,
we have to start with love. That's where we have to start, because I went to a seminar this weekend where a person who was struggling with the gay lifestyle was speaking about how, you know, a lot of these things get started, what happens with these kids socially, developmentally. And it's enough to make you just really cry, just weep to yourself.
Yes.
Because
yes,
a lot of these people have gone through so much hurt and struggle. And I feel if the church would be the church and start with love, reach out to the youth, to the young people, whoever you God puts at your hands to reach out to. You know, I think it'll be amazing the transformations that we will see if we just start with basic love.
Yeah.
And now don't get me wrong, we can't skew the truth. We can't say it's one way or somewhere in the middle. Right is right and wrong is wrong. All we have to do is open the Word of God. It's right there as plain as day. But I think the way we deliver it, we have to tell them the truth in love, but we have to put our arms around people and embrace them and acknowledge that they've been hurt. But as a result of this hurt, something disastrous has happened to your mentality, to the way you think, to the way you process. And I just feel if there were enough people in the church reaching out, you would just see such a dent in
oh,
this
you're
problem.
Right. You're right, Jane. You said so many things that, again, I absolutely agree with and affirm. If we fear God adequately, we won't fear people. If our goal is to make people like us, then we'll lose the favor of God. If our goal is to have God be pleased with us, then we really will be compassionate, caring people, because we'll get the heart of God, and love tells the truth. I was sitting, Jane, with a local gay activist, and he's known me for a few years, but it was the first time we were able to have a meal together. And as we sat and talked, he noticed I was tearing up as he was telling, you know, some of his story or the story of others, and said, you know, I've misjudged you. I thought that you were just taking some political kind of position against us. And now, of course, he thinks I'm deluded, you know, but he said, I've misjudged you. You really care. And I sat there with tears streaming down my cheeks. And I said, man, I just want you to know the love of the Father. My heart hurts for you. I want you to know the love of the Father. And I've told folks, if you're going to stand against gay activism, First qualification is you'd rather not do it because you care so much for the people. You don't want to drive them away, but love and truth compels you to act. So, hey, Jane, we are in this together. We are going to see change. God is going to move. And love is going to overcome hate.
Yes.
Light's going to overcome darkness.
Yes.
And
yes.
The word I got, reach out and resist. So I'm actively resisting the activist agenda. But you better believe we're reaching out to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender identified community. And we are praying and believing that tens of thousands are going to find wholeness, salvation, healing in Jesus and in his people in these coming months. Hey, Jane, thanks so much. Jesus. Have you ordered your copy of the book yet?
No, but I will be doing that today.
No, you won't, because I'm sending you a free copy. Stay on the line.
Thank you.
All
thank
right.
You
God
so
bless
much.
You. Thank
God
you, Jane.
Bless you. Thank
all right.
You.
Stay right there. Okay. Hey, that makes my day to hear someone celebrate with joy like that over getting this book. Listen, friends, you don't spend 6 years of your life writing something that the publishers won't touch. You don't spend 6 years of your life doing things that people tell you you're committing ministry suicide. You don't spend 6 years of your life doing stuff that gets you bashed in newspapers and magazines and on the internet and called a Hitler and a jihadist and having cartoon pictures pasted with your head on the body of a Muslim terrorist as if you're some kind of crazy person. You don't do this unless you really have a burden. And I am burdened. I am deeply burdened to see the church awaken in this day, and I believe it can happen. Look, William Wilberforce was told, you're crazy, it's never going to happen, fighting slavery in England. God used him to eradicate slave trade in England and slavery in England, and then it came over to the United States on the heels of that a generation later. All things are possible to him who believes God, but it starts with you and me. And here's my bottom line, friends. And I'll say it once again, and you'll hear me say this over and over again. The change must begin in the house of God. The revolution must first happen in our hearts, our lives, our minds, our way of doing things before society can be revolutionized. For a generation or more, rather than the church changing the world has changed the church. It's time for us to recover our counterculture calling as God-filled, spirit-breathing, Jesus-loving, biblically based, holy living disciples who go into our world by making change. How? By first meeting with God. When you meet with God, you'll hear the trumpet call. You'll hear the blast of the trumpet. You'll realize it's wake up time. We must awaken from our slumber. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for God and others. Let's stand up for what's right. Let's reach out to the homosexual community with compassion. Let's resist the agenda with courage, and we will see change come. Again, order A Queer Thing Happened to America on Amazon.com, or for multiple copies, call this number now, 800-278-9978, 800-278-9978, and join me online, AskDrBrown.org. Hundreds of hours of free resources waiting for you there. And tomorrow, right here, why this Jew believes in Jesus. Thanks for joining us today.